Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Toyo Open Country AT3. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
All right, the NBA season is in full swing, coming down the stretch. Then we move right into the playoffs in April, May, and June. I can't wait. Spice things up with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA right now. All you have to do is put down $5 and get $150 instantly in bonus bets. Pretty good trade-off. I pay $5, I get $150. North Carolina listeners, do not forget. Welcome to the party. DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state, North Carolina. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Takes 90 seconds. The code is Colin, C-O-L-I-N. Again, 90 seconds. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app. Put in Colin. New customers bet $5, get $150 back in bonus bets instantly. That is the trade. Code is always Colin. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, Iowa 94, LSU 87 in a rematch. I thought it was incredibly fast-paced and fun. The game wasn't really, it didn't feel that close. Iowa got more good looks. A lot of it, Caitlin Clark, 41 points, 9 for 20 on threes, 12 assists. And the assists are notable because, you know, why do we have this explosion in women's college basketball? And I think there's two reasons why you're getting this explosion. Number one is the quality of play is better. You can go back and watch the 1970s NBA and you can have Dr. J doing things that guys can't do now. I mean, the athleticism in the NBA, you can go back to 1975, 1985 men's college basketball. I'd argue it was better. You had guys like, you know, superstar players, Akeem and Clyde Drexler staying for a third or a fourth year. But women's college basketball in the 70s and 80s did not look like this. The players now, the distribution, the scoring, the finishing, the passing, the size, the speed of athletes, it's different. I YouTube tonight for fun. I YouTube 1980 women's college basketball. It's just not the same sport. The passing, the ball movement, the cutting, it's clever. And tonight's game wasn't chippy at all, but there's, you know, some chippiness, some physicality, and it's a joy to watch. I mean, folks, 94-87, that's like a month, that's December scoring for Virginia men's basketball. How many games in this tournament have you watched on the men's side and thought, can we get to 50? Can we get to 53? Even Duke was painful to watch. But the quality of looks, the quality of shots, and just the quality of distribution and movement is terrific. And a lot of that's because we have multiple generations now of women being encouraged to go be athletes. Wasn't the case in the 40s, 50s, maybe in the 60s, 70s. So the quality is really good. That's the first part. And the second thing, women's college basketball is delivering and producing what men's college basketball is not. Continuity.
It's not a carousel. Great players and great rivalries year after year after year. People are creatures of habit. I eat the same four things for breakfast the last 50 years. I'm having an oatmeal. I'm having a smoothie. I'm having an omelet. You know, it's the same stuff. And people are creatures of habit, right? Our patterns. We like continuity. We like some predictability. And women's college basketball, we get a rematch. We get Caitlin Clark for a second year, a third year, a fourth year. The best college men's players, it's a turnstile. Half of them don't even play college basketball. So this is why you can criticize the NBA. You can criticize pro sports. There's been a lot of mobility in the NBA, but most of the Warriors have stayed. You know, the Jaylen Brown and Tatum aren't going anywhere. Steph, Clay, Draymond Green, not going anywhere for a long time. No, Clay Thompson may move now, but I think it's delivering what men's college basketball doesn't. And there are a lot of people in this country that prefer the aesthetic, the intensity, the competition, and the rivalries of college basketball over pro basketball. I like the quality of NBA basketball, but I will say everybody plays the same way. There's not a lot of uniqueness. It's all dunks or threes. And I don't like load management. Caitlin Clark is going to show up for every game. Angel Reese is going to show up for every game. So Caitlin was the difference tonight in this game. And that's usually the way it works in big games with superstars. Yeah, I thought this kind of lived up to the hype. And I think it was kind of an exhilarating, fun night of basketball that everybody enjoyed. And I think it captivated social media. It captivated the country. And, you know, it's another thing. I've said this. I grew up an NBA fan. So I'm from the Northwest. And the Sonics and the Blazers both got titles in the 70s. So in my area, college basketball wasn't as good. The Huskies had Marv Harshman. The Beavers had Ralph Miller. They were winning programs, but the quality wasn't very good. And the Sonics and the Blazers were great. And they were winning titles. So I was an NBA fan. I've got little, you know, newspaper cutout things all over this corked wall in my bedroom. And I think the NBA and baseball were my first love. But, you know, one of the things about the NBA that I do think it's a bigger problem than anybody wants to acknowledge. The game is getting international. That's fine. Good basketball is good basketball. But I think load management's a real problem. And when I went to a Celtics-Bulls game a couple Saturdays ago in Chicago, three of the best players for the Celtics sat out. If you're going to sit out a game, sit out a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Those Friday and Saturday night games, those are date nights. Those are big. That's when, you know, your son or your daughter don't have school the next day. And those are games that really, really matter to a family. A lot of people, I'm one of them. I go to two NBA games a year just because of my schedule. Maybe three. This year I've been to two. I'm going to a Knicks-Bulls game this weekend or this Friday in Chicago. But I think it matters. And watching the women tonight, I'm like I knew multiple starters for teams. Continuity, repetition, predictability, storylines. That's why 90% of the revenue in cinema today is remakes and sequels. You know, people want to be invested in a plot. So this is the big rematch. I think it's really important. I think Adam Silver has been a bit too player friendly and accommodating. But I thought a big part of tonight is we all knew who we knew it was Angel Reese and Kim Mulkey and Caitlin Clark, and we knew the rivalry, and it got testy and chippy last year. It's a big part of sports. It's a big part of movies, remakes, sequels. And it was fun. And the game flew by. Refs got out of the way mostly. I thought between Juju Watkins at USC, Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, the only men's basketball player that rivals that in terms of star power is Zach Edey for Purdue. And I do think UConn is I don't know if they're historically great. They're great. For 2024, they're great for men's basketball. But I think three of the four biggest stars in March have been on the women's side. And, you know, we can talk about the purity of the game and we love the game. America loves stars. We're a very fast-paced, frenetic society. We're all distracted. We've all got our phones. You know, we're doing a million things. We like stars. Stars get us to a theater. They get us to a game. And Caitlin Clark has that kind of power. I mean, now Angel Reese is great too, but Caitlin Clark's kind of unique shooting range. I was joking on social media. Her shooting range is somewhere around, hey, I'm driving to the arena. I'll be there soon. Some of her shots are just insane. I'm not even sure they're good shots, go in or not. They're just shots that she takes and with relative ease. So the star power matters. You can talk about the quality of anything, but brands matter, star power matters. And Caitlin Clark has it. I was trying to think during the first half of the game, I was kind of Googling and thinking about the biggest stars in the history of college basketball. And that the first big star to me was Pat Summitt. And then there was Nancy Lieberman, and then Cheryl Miller. And then UConn was sort of a collective. I do think Maya Moore is about as good a player as I've ever seen. So it was either coach or a program or Cheryl Miller. Caitlin Clark, I think, is just a comet. And like, you know, what's also great about it is it's almost like I was watching a Steve Martin documentary the other day. And, you know, all movie stars have ups and downs. Even Marlon Brando, Tom Hanks, Denzel, good movies, bad movies. The thing about Caitlin Clark is she just keeps delivering every time. Like every time I tune in, like tonight, you're like, okay, well, she'll have 31, 41, 12 assists. And she just, it's like, it would be like having, you know, six sequels to a movie and everyone's better than the next. So that's rare. Everybody has stinkers. Brady, Mahomes. It's got kind of a Tiger Woods feel to it. She's got kind of like every time I watch and anticipate, she just delivers. And women's college basketball this year has really done that. I had a blast for the last 2 hours watching that game, 2.5 hours, and I hope you did as well. Congrats to Iowa, and LSU's a hell of a team. Kim Mulkey can drive a lot of people in the media nuts, but doesn't she have two natties, two different schools? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good coach. You know, listen, college coaches have a lot of power on a campus. They have a right to an opinion, even if I don't agree with them. And as a sportscaster, you're always looking for big games. NFL season, Mondays are easy shows. I'm always looking for big games in the offseason. So thank you to women's basketball, LSU and Iowa, and Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese for delivering a great night of entertainment.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort. Performance tires for sporty handling. All-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation. The right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Bridgestone tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Bridgestone test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
We talk a lot about these quarterbacks. And I have said before that I think Caleb Williams is the most talented. And like an Andrew Luck, he will succeed at some level, even if he got their own coach, GM, O-line roster. And I do think Ryan Poles he's redeemed himself. He's had a very good 6 to 9 months. So I think he may have the right former offensive lineman. Looks like the O-line. There's some hits there with his draft capital the last 3 years. But let's reverse the telescope. If I said to you, we know of these top 5 or 6, 2 are not going to work. We know it right now. And I've said, I think Caleb's good enough to overcome everybody else will be as good as where they land. I think J.J. McCarthy in New England is a bust. I think J.J. McCarthy in Minnesota with that talent and coach, that division which is light on defense, heavy on scoring, works. If I said to you, guess, give me two that if you had to put the odds on, it won't work. See, now I think Bo Nix is going to fall and end up falling to like a McVay or, you know, a Peyton. You know, I kind of think Bo Nix is not talented enough to overcome, whereas I think Jaden Daniels isn't either, but is going to go top three or four, and that's problematic. So I would get Jaden Daniels to me is like, oh no, I think he can succeed. But the top three quarterbacks are going to defensive coaches working with new OCs, three for three. So give me the guy that you worry about.
Yeah, to me, he'd have to be first given, you know, I don't want to, it's unfair to compare him to a guy who's won two MVPs, but his game is parallel some of Lamar, right? Yeah. He throws it pretty, he probably throws it better outside the hashes down the field. But I do think that type player early on in his career, Lamar went to the Ravens, who literally pivoted midseason, changed their whole offense around. It's not just one of the highest level, you know, sports teams, it's like one of the higher level businesses probably in America, the way they've operated for 20 plus years. So he got, I know it sucks falling to 32, but he got pretty lucky. Jaden Daniels, that's probably not going to happen, right? He's going to go in the top five, and more than likely, you're not getting a competent operation. So if he goes to the New England Patriots, that's pretty scary. I mean, their offensive talent is a disaster. Listen, I'm not trying to judge you on the coach's picture, but Jerod Mayo's wearing like a t-shirt. He looked disheveled. I know he's a high-level, impressive guy, but I don't know, man. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek, but in all seriousness, the drop-off that's about to come from Bill Belichick to what's going on, the Kraft refused to name a general manager, Elliot Wolf's kind of doing it. I think it's going to be a rough go for that organization.
So do I.
And then the J.J. McCarthy, my comp for him is Alex Smith. Alex Smith had success when he had Jim Harbaugh and Andy Reid. One guy's basically a chubbier version of Bill Walsh, and Jim Harbaugh is one of the more successful college NFL coaches we've ever seen. When he had Mike Nolan and Mike Singletary, it was a disaster. They were chanting for David Carr. So that's very fickle, right? Certain physical talents, like Josh Allen, probably would have succeeded no matter what, right? He's just physically too gifted. Even Herbert, even his down years, you go, I still see a lot there. Tua's a good example. Kind of like Jared Goff. Much less physical attributes. When it's not going well, you're like, what the hell is this? Good coaching, good offensive weaponry, good protection. You're like,
Tua
okay,
and
I
Goff.
See it.
Yeah, Tua and Goff are very much about protection and coach. Herbert has gone to the playoffs and is yet to get even a remotely competent coach.
And I would take Jared Goff all day over Tua just on the simple fact he's bigger. I think he just throws a better ball. And on the flip side, you know, I don't know if you saw all those numbers from Penix, but you and I have talked about this before, a lot of comparisons to Tua. And then you see him run like a 4.55 and he jumps 37 inches. I think Kobe jumped 36. So I'm not comparing him as an athlete to Kobe Bryant, but he's a really good athlete.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you don't see it as much on film because he wasn't asked to play that way. They had, you know, I think they thought they had the best offensive line in the country. Then they met Michigan, but they had an excellent offensive line, right? So he wasn't getting touched. I think he was only sacked like, 11 times? It's like averaging less than one a game. But he clearly can move. Right. So you could get a guy in some of these Shanahan offenses or Sean Payton to get him on the move a little bit. He has it in him. Clearly his film as a pocket passer is pretty special. Questions with injuries. That's scary. But I heard a podcast probably within the last 6 months of DuBoer talking about when he first got to Indiana and they recruited him. Was he was recruited as more of a dual threat guy. And then he had the injuries and they just got away from it. But he physically I was pretty that was an eye-opening experience to see those. I would have guessed he's like a 4.8 guy and not a great athlete, but he's not. Like Tua, remember, he hurt his hip his last year in college, so he couldn't work out. He ain't running a 4.5. He ain't sniffing it.
No.
And listen, Tua's a pocket quarterback, which I thought Penix was too, but you see these athletic numbers kind of like the C.J. Stroud. Now, he did it more on film in that Georgia game, but one thing we know about C.J., pocket quarterback, but has athletic attributes to kind of move around when shit hits the fan, which in the NFL it inevitably does.
Yeah, I think J.J. McCarthy only works if he goes to, like, let's say, a Minnesota. I think that's a furnished apartment for a young quarterback. Everything set up. they don't have to pay rent for a year. Darnold's paying rent for a year. He'll take the hits and the bruises. Then you step in.
What about the Giants? Penix,
oh, I don't like anybody to the Giants. I don't like anybody right now to the Giants. So
tough landing spot.
I would say Penix to Miami to be the next Tua. Penix to Seattle works. I think they're kind of ready to roll, his offensive coordinator. I think McCarthy in Minnesota works.
But the Rams, Rams is a sleeper for him.
Well, the Rams a sleeper for a lot of people. So they're one of those teams that has been very successful without first round picks. This is their first rounder in a long time. And they're at 19. I could see the Rams sliding down if Bo Nix is there and you start. I've been in a war room before, you have, and you slide down and you're like, well, the next four teams don't need quarterbacks. If it's, you know, at 19, you're getting into like Dallas, May, but they need some pieces. I could see the Rams going and saying, we're going to take Bo Nix and he's going to sit for 2 years. I could totally see that happening. So I think Bo Nix to me, again, like a Penix, like a J.J. McCarthy, it's going to be the spot. But Bo Nix may be the luckiest of all, because the truth is, if he goes, and I think he probably will, I think Denver is the last chance for him. Then there's going to be a long stretch of people that aren't going to move up. Like if you start looking at the teams that need quarterbacks, it's not a surprise. They're mostly in the top 12 and 13. That's why they're bad teams.
Yeah.
So I think Bo Nix, I think the Rams would roll the dice on Bo Nix because the Stetson Bennett didn't work. Stafford feels like he's hurt at least once to twice a year. That one's interesting. This draft does feel like to me, it's got about five guys. I don't see Marvin Harrison Jr. missing. I think he's just, I don't think Brock Bowers is missing. Joe Alt. Those guys jump out to me. Is the kid at Oregon State the right tackle who, like, you can't find bad tape on him? It does feel like this draft, but like there are players in this draft. I think sometimes receivers can be very dependent on the environment.
Big time.
And the quarterback. Quarterbacks are very dependent on several people, including the play caller. But if I said to you, two guys in the draft as a former scout, because I always thought Patrick Willis, the Ole Miss linebacker, I was told by a GM, 32 teams he'd work for. I was told Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan, like, that's going to work. I'm trying to think of somebody else. Calvin Johnson. Yeah, was
Larry
going to
Fitzgerald,
work.
Julio Jones. I mean, there are certain guys. You know.
They're going to work. Is it? Give me the two guys here. Let's say they go to a lousy situation. You cannot see failing.
Well, I don't see how it's possible for a kid from Napa, California, to go to the best program in the country at Georgia. And Brock Bowers, I would say, pretty immediately as a freshman, in the definitely the most athletic conference in the country, was one of their best players. And by year two or three, he's arguably the best player in the country, pound for pound, as good as
maybe
anybody.
Maybe the best, most productive tight end I've ever seen in college.
So you get this guy that goes, it would have been easy for a West Coast guy to go to Oregon, go to USC, even an Oklahoma or Texas, not go. He went all the way to where the pressure was brightest and dominated. I don't see, and I know there's some comparisons, doesn't really block. Well, the game's changed a lot. We have a lot more of these hybrid tight ends, a lot more of the Travis Kelce style. He's very, like any receiver, dependent on a quarterback to throw him the ball, obviously. But how's he not going to be a good NFL pro? I saw some of his measurables they put right next to Laporta, very similar size. A little harder to judge, I think, sometimes those Big Ten tight ends, because you're like, well, who's he, you know, defenders he playing against? There's no debate. Think about the guys he went and practiced against, Colin. If I was a scout, I wouldn't even need to watch game tape. I'd be like, can I just get your Georgia practice tape from a year ago? Your entire draft when the 11 guys on defense went? So I think they had 18 guys on defense go over a two-year span. I can imagine Kirby's like, yeah, we couldn't cover them there either. So yeah. I don't see how it's possible. I was texting about sometimes height at tackle. Like there's 6'6", like a Trent Williams, Jason Peters. I think Lane Johnson, 6'5". Like 6'8", 6'9", can get a little tall because Von Miller or Nick Bosa, these guys, where they are to the ground, it's just hard to touch them. But from what I've heard about Joe Alt, it's just his athleticism. I just don't see how he's not going to be good. Now, the one thing with him, because I was texting, I was like, should the Chargers, if they get stuck, just take him? They're like, well, you already got the left tackle. Just get a touchdown guy for Herbert. You can get a right tackle maybe in the second round. You've already got that position. You don't need to force it. If you do get stuck there, just take whoever you think the best skill guy is, and there are some talented guys. And most people believe the three wide receivers. And you and I talked about, I saw James Jones, which I understand a lot of the players are like, God, it's bullshit. Marvin Harrison isn't doing anything. When all the other guys worked out, all the quarterbacks, all the wide receivers. I heard neighbors at the LSU Pro Day, which I don't know if you saw some pictures. That thing was a zoo of NFL people.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, Marvin, watch this. Cause he thinks he's going to go number one. I defend Marvin in the sense everything he's doing is because his dad's telling him. And when your dad's in the Hall of Fame, if he tells you to jump, you say how high. So I don't believe it's his own choice. I'm not saying he's not agreeing to it, but what's he supposed to do? Tell his dad he doesn't know what he's talking about. But that neighbor's, Connie ran a 4.3. He's a fantastic tape. I mean, dominated in the SEC, ran a 4.35 and jumped 42 inches. I mean, pretty rare athlete. So I it's hard. I don't know what to gauge on Harbaugh. I think I said, you and I talked about this last week about the wide receivers, and someone hit me up like, the Ravens have taken wide receivers over the years. Yeah, in the 20s when they're good. When they've drafted high, it's Lodi Nada, it's Ronnie Stanley. Yeah. Now, that I don't know if that guy's really here, right? There's not a great pass rusher in this. The Bama guy, I don't think he's viewed as a top 10 player. Like we talked about, they don't need a left tackle. You could, I guess, take the Oregon State guy there, probably be a little rich. But I don't know. You know, if Harbaugh didn't take Marvin Harrison, he's seen him back-to-back years, right? And seen him on cross film for 3 years at Michigan. Yeah. That'd be a little interesting. Neighbors is, from what, you know, has had some incidents over the years, but his talent, I think they feel he's pretty buttoned up right now. Rome honestly feels kind of like a Harbaugh guy. But I don't know. I think the Chargers are fascinating. But yeah, I would go Brock Bowers. I don't see how he's not. If you just put him on the Chargers, which I don't think, you know, that he would immediately make like $9-10, you know, ish million dollars, and a tight end, the franchise tag's 12. So ideally taking a tight end that high, you're already paying him premium money. But I think he'd be a premium player immediately. I think he would dominate. Well, if you told me Brock Bowers is on the Chargers next year, I'd be like, he catches 88 balls. Wouldn't you?
9 touchdowns. I mean, here's the other thing. Letting Gerald Everett go to the Bears, they don't have, I mean, they're well below average in the NFL at tight end. And so, and Herbert, I mean, can you imagine him having a 6'6 target? You know, because he's been so effective with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. I mean, he's one of those guys that will throw guys open. A lot of young quarterbacks don't. No. He throws young guys open.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com. You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Continental tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you. Or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Continental test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com the way tire buying should be.
Well, I first heard of Danny Parkins from Nick Wright, who had said, hey, I work with this guy. And then I go to Chicago regularly and listened. And I thought, wow, this guy's about the best young guy I've heard in the country. So I did sports radio for a while. And then I wanted to create, mostly out of survival, when I was at ESPN, I said, guys, I've got to create a simulcast. AM radio is not a dynamic next 10-year horizon. And so ESPN did not think I was talented enough to be on ESPN2, apparently. So I said, all right, I'll jettison this place. I do appreciate it. And things have gone well. But when I went to television, I always did a show with a lot of football. But I think I have moved in the direction of more football. Part of that is when you can see a TV number every day, you see what's working and you see what's not. And football almost always works. Secondarily, though, big beats small, scale beats up boutique. The NFL makes everything now look small. I think it's well run. I think sports gambling helps. I think it's better on television. I think other leagues have made mistakes. One and done has hurt college basketball, men's anyway. What percentage of your show? Mine's about 70% NFL. I don't want to be on the NFL network. I push back. I've talked a lot of college basketball in the last 2-3 weeks. What percentage of yours is NFL?
Obviously, it depends on the time, right? I mean, we're Cubs opening day. We're doing a ton of Cubs. We're the home of the Cubs. But even leading into that, the Bears have been the dominant storyline with the last 2 years having the number one overall pick. They're the biggest story in the NFL for the offseason. So obviously they're the biggest story here. So even with a two-team town, there's only three cities that have two baseball teams. Baseball on the radio is still incredibly powerful. You know, the Cubs are the biggest client of my radio station, 670 The Score, by far. We're still, I wish the number was higher. My co-host is a bigger baseball guy. It's over 50%. For football, even in opening day week with two teams in town, because it's all about Caleb Williams and the ninth pick and are the Bears on the come and all of that. And the other thing, at least in this market, that I would say is football's the great unifier. When I was growing up, kid in the 90s in Chicago, the Bulls were king. The Blackhawks weren't even on TV, but there were people that were Blackhawks fans and not Bulls fans, even at that period of time. And certainly when they had their dynastic run with three titles, the Hawks kind of overtook the Bulls as being the toughest ticket in town and that sort of thing. Cubs and White Sox split. Blackhawks and Bulls split. Everybody cares about the Bears. Everybody has an opinion on the Bears. And for the national side of it, yeah, sports gambling, yeah, fantasy. But I think like the simplest way to explain it is that it's every game matters. It's one of 17, and no other league has that. If I miss Bulls-Hawks, and I don't talk about it on the show the next day, we don't get a single text, call, or tweet being like, hey, you missed this really important thing. Because if a really important thing happens, I see about it on social media, it cuts through, we talk about it. But if you came on the Monday after a Bears-Packers game or a Bears-Lions game or a Bears-Jaguars game or a Bears-Bucks game, whomever, even if they were 5-10 and you didn't do 4 hours on the Bears game, the ramifications, who played well, who didn't, who's going to get fired, who's going to get extended, all of those things, people would think you were insane. So it's the great unifier. And the thing that it has is that every game matters. And the rhythm of it, I think, is great. You play a game on Sunday, you react on Monday, the coach and the quarterback speak on Monday and quarterback speaks on Wednesday. You start looking ahead to the next game. Then there's a Thursday night game. Teams in your division matter. It's just for local sports radio, national TV, there's just such a great rhythm to football.
So I didn't like Ryan Poles initially. Velus Jones, I watched him at USC, could not track the ball. I mean, I literally text you GMs and I'm like, he doesn't know what he's doing. That he can't play. He can't play. So, right. But I watched USC maybe more than Ryan Poles. And then there was the Chase Claypool, which I defended because of the body type, but Chase ended up going sideways and not being very mature. And so my takeaway is I don't trust the ownership, Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus. And then probably knowing he butchered Velus Jones and knowing that there are certain things about offense like line play, I think he's drafted it pretty well, that he knows, he went and got DJ Moore. He went and got Keenan Allen and moved Mooney. And I thought, oh, and then he brings in Gerald Everett. And
he's Swift, who's a good, he can catch the ball to the backfield. And I'm like, oh, now I, new information. I think Ryan Poles knows what he's doing. I think his last six moves, I love the Montez Sweat move. It got heat, but I'm like, folks, there's nobody in the second round as good as Montez Sweat.
Right, and no guarantee you'd get him in free agency.
That's right. But what is the takeaway? Because the Bears, Eberflus has been criticized. The ownership has. Where is everybody sitting on your GM, which in football is such a substantial position because the rosters are so big and there's so many moves to make?
I don't know how you could have any grade on him other than an A. It doesn't mean that he's perfect, and you've listed a few of the big misses. Like, Velus Jones is the first offensive player that he ever selected, but it was in the third round. Teams miss on third round picks all the time. Chase Claypool. It was a panic move. It was, I'm trading away Roquan Smith. I'm trading away Robert Quinn. I'm carrying the most dead cap space of any team in the league. But I am trying to be fair to Justin Fields, who is an 11 out of 10 as a person. And I'd like to figure out if I have something here. I've got to give him something. And he overtraded for the traits of Chase Claypool. And I think he undervalued the personal stuff. Because then when he learns the mistake from that, and he trades for Montez Sweat, there were a lot of people saying, trade for Chase Young off that defensive line. More talented, better pedigree player, all of that stuff. But he loafs. He takes plays off. And Montez Sweat, whatever he's got, he's giving it to you. And so I think that is a direct, because it's the exact same trade. It's a second round pick for an established player that you're hoping to pay. They paid Montez Sweat. They obviously didn't pay Claypool. So I think also with anything, learning, proving that you learn from your mistakes and that you don't double down, that's a sign of intelligence to me. So to me, like, it's like, yeah, did it start a little choppy? No question. But he also inherited one of the oldest teams in the league with a ton of bad contracts. A quarterback that someone else drafted, no first round pick in his first year. So his first draft picks are second round picks, both of whom, by the way, pretty good. Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker, two guys who are starters in one of the best young secondaries in football. Then when he gets a first round pick, a lot of us are saying, Jalen Carter, you need a three technique for this defense. He moves down from 9 to 10, picks up an extra fourth round pick. Drafts Darnell Wright, right tackle, to support the quarterback. He makes all rookie team. Looks like he's going to be a starter at right tackle for 10 years. And then the biggest thing by far, and the Sweat one was big and the Keenan Allen was big, is he trades the number one overall pick and picks the right team to trade to, gets DJ Moore, gets the second round pick that is Tyreek Stevenson, another starter at cornerback who was really damn good last year, gets the first round pick this year, which is going to be, you know, Caleb Williams, a once in a generation quarterback prospect. He has their second round pick next year from Carolina. And oh yeah, by the way, DJ Moore. So it's one of the great, I mean, people will reference the Herschel Walker trade. It is truly one of the great trades in modern NFL history. If Caleb Williams is everything that you and I and the vast majority of people think that he will be, they've got a very good cap situation. They've got very good players in their athletic prime. Jalen Johnson, Tremaine Edmonds, Montez Sweat, Cole Kmet, DJ Moore. These guys are all 25, 26, 27 years old, under contract. Good players on rookie deals. Brisker, Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, Darnell Wright, Tevin Jenkins, who I hadn't mentioned. And now you're going to inject the 9th overall pick, whoever he ends up taking, and there's a ton of great options. And Caleb Williams and a good quarterback on a rookie deal, the Bears should be set up under Ryan Poles for a really long runway of success here.
You kind of moved into a space, as far as I can tell. You were not really a Justin Fields guy, and the city was, you know, of course they're clinging to it working. Hell, the Bears were clinging to it. They wanted to say, we'll get 9 picks for Caleb Williams. Everybody wanted it to work. So what is it like now, probably for the first time in your career, as being a villain for a few months?
Okay, so this is fascinating. I'm going to take off my headset for just 1 second because this will make sense. So, because there is an exact moment when my likability plummeted. And it's wild. I just have to pull out a prop real quick. I didn't know if we were going to talk about this. Hold on. So I commissioned a Caleb Williams 13 Bears jersey the day they got the number one pick. So with a week left in the season, and so Justin Fields is still on the Bears. It's been, he's likable. He's fun. He's exciting. He was voted the 86th best player in the NFL coming off of the 2022 season when they had the most dead cap space and no one else good on the team. People love Justin Fields, and the Bears did not treat him well, and it was not fair, and they did not build around him. And the situation that Caleb is walking into is 1,000 times better, but life isn't fair. And I was like, listen, here's the thing. I like hanger steak, but I've got a chance for 8-5 Wagyu and it's cheaper. Like for some reason, the Wagyu is cheaper than the hanger steak. Like I'm going to go for it every time. And so when people are like, cause now everyone's pumped for Caleb, but I was just like, this is how it's going to end. And I told them how it was going to end before they were ready to hear how it was going to end. And if I would have just had the take, people would have really disagreed. But for some reason, the fact that I spent $140 on a jersey and like became a prop comic for a minute and like showed, like I showed you how positive I was that this was how it was going to end. Ooh, buddy, were people mean to me on the internet? what's so weird about the whole thing is that I'm going to be right. Like I bet Mitch Trubisky at 200-1 to win MVP, blew up in my face. I said there was a 0% chance the White Sox were going to hire Tony La Russa, blew up in my face. Like I've been wrong plenty of times. We give 20 hours a week of opinions. You're going to be wrong all the time. But man, did people hate this jersey. But now it's going to be the number one selling jersey in the NFL for the next like 5 years. So I don't know if you knew this. I'm a fashion icon. I'm a trendsetter. I'm ahead of the curve. People are dressing like me now, and I frankly love it. But did I have it on my board that the thing that would make me most hated is the thing that I have been the most right about? No, that I did not expect that to be how my career has gone. But now people are being pretty nice because they're pretty excited about Caleb Williams.
The Volume.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, take a moment, rate, and review.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.